Hello everyone, welcome to Digital Marketing Can.com, your one-stop destination to explore the latest happenings, strategies, tools, techniques, and case studies in the digital marketing domain. I'm your host Prince Kumar, and we have Steve Brown, the CEO of the Change Starter, with us today. Steve began her corporate career in advertising in heavyweight London agencies such as Saatchi & Saatchi and McCann Erickson. She has worked with global brands such as L'Oreal, Coca-Cola, McDonald's and Visa, helping them assess their business challenges, design effective strategies and achieve measurable results. Before starting the Change Starter, Steve held strategic planning and management roles at several Sydney-based marketing agencies. We are excited to have her today and understand on a very important topic, that is about the three steps to never-ending content for boosting brand awareness. Hi Steve, a warm welcome on our show.
Hello, thank you so much for having me. It's good to be here.
Great, and we are excited to have you today.
Thank you.
So to start with our conversation, can you just let the audience know a bit more about your corporate journey?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, as you said, I was really lucky to start my career at one of the greatest ad agencies in the world, Saatchi & Saatchi. So it was very much more traditional advertising when I started, TV, radio, print, billboards, that sort of thing. And I was working for FMCG brands, so with Procter & Gamble. It was my first client that I was working with. And then I went on to work for Visa, and we had the account for the whole of Europe. So that was a more broad experience. So we had traditional methods of advertising that I've mentioned, but we also were working on what was at the time sort of the beginnings of digital marketing. So at the time, it was really just web banners, you know, there was not too much else to it. That was kind of what was happening. And even that was all a bit exciting and nobody quite knew, you know, what was happening. But in Saatchi's, they'd already built a digital marketing team and, you know, it was starting to really come into a lot of clients' plans as well. So we were doing things like that. But then also we had got a division for, which I think that still exists today, they call it Saatchi X, which was for shopper marketing. So going from what we used to call point of sale to shopper marketing, which is much more in depth around the psychology of how, you know, people shop, the buying cycle, their behaviors, their attitudes, the process they go through. And I found that really, really fascinating. So I was able to get a really broad breadth of experience with all of those different disciplines and then working across Visa, as I mentioned, and then I went into other agencies. I worked for on L'Oreal and then I came over to Australia and I started to specialize more in the shopper marketing side of things. And then of course that also integrates with digital. It has to, because everything has to now. So I then ended up saying, right, well, I need to upskill in digital. And, you know, with my generation, we're really the only generation in history where, you know, we have to have done both. So we started our careers in kind of traditional methods. And then we've had to go, oh, okay, digital marketing, we need to learn about that. So we've all had to upskill. And we really, you know, it's the only point in history when that's going to happen, right? Everyone else after us is a digital marketing native right from the beginning. So it's a very interesting time to be alive, really, in the marketing industry. And so, yeah, I went on and I did my master in digital marketing in finished in 2020. But I actually started my own business back in 2015. And that's really when I moved from working with corporates, big global brands, you know, building their brand awareness and driving their overall engagement and familiarity of their brands through to small and medium enterprise, which is what my business really specializes in. And of course, that's a whole different world from corporate brands, and it comes with its own unique set of challenges for small business.
Got it. So what all services like your agency provides out there? Because one thing which I was able to get is that lead generation is where you have been more major focused. So what are the other services that your agency offers?
Other services? So our business is really full scope of marketing. And it's really, for me, because I had that broad background, it's really about what does the business need? And, you know, small businesses can't afford TV ads, obviously, but they might be able to put, they can put ads on social media, they can put ads on YouTube and on Facebook. So it's really about determining what's the full scope of their marketing challenge and their marketing plan. And it has to align to their budget, right? And so very often I see, you know, small businesses say, oh, well, we got this marketing plan done. But when you look at it, it's like, wow, this is like a master plan. This is millions of dollars worth of, you know, content and advertising and all sorts of ideas. And they're all great and they might well work, but they don't actually fit with reality because you don't have that budget. So often, you know, it's really about looking at the business as a whole. What do they need? Meet them where they're at as well on their marketing journey, because they're not always all, you know, ready to embark on certain types of marketing. It's a bit too much for them. Perhaps they don't have the infrastructure in place. So we just try to look at what's realistic for the business and then put a plan in that's going to really work for their budget and their resourcing capability at the time. And I think that's important. So, you know, we're going to talk, I know, about content today, and content really is important in the marketing sphere. It is marketing. But of course, it comes in lots of different facets, and there's different ways that that content can be distributed. And so you need to have a, you know, a very holistic plan. It's not only about having a content plan, for sure.
Definitely, definitely. In this competitive world, having a well-researched content is the importance. So yeah, coming to the topic that we have today, can you just help us, the audience, understand that what is the importance of this well-researched content, especially in this competitive environment where there are kind of lacks of content being floated every day, whether it might be the text content, whether it might be the audio content, the video content. So how the companies or how the organization can stand out from this content?
Yeah. So that's the thing, right? There's so much content out there in the world. We're all bombarded with messages day in and out, not always from companies, but, you know, from our friends, from people in general that are online. So it can be very overwhelming. But, you know, content is marketing and marketing is content. And that's the way of the world now. And so, of course, content and a content strategy is an important part of your overall marketing strategy. And I think, you know, because there's so much content out there, and especially now with the evolution of AI, which is going to further saturate our world with content, there's a lot of content that's now, it's really just the same old stuff, and it's re-edited and regurgitated into different forms, which is a problem in itself. So well-researched content has the potential to, you know, not only ensure that you're speaking factually, i.e. you are citing original sources, not just the one you found on the internet, which is a lot of what some of the problems that we're having with AI already, but also to give you the opportunity to have an edge on your competitors. So you can hopefully, you know, bring something different and unique to your content. So what's really most important is, you know, what is your target customer researching and searching for online? That's really where your content planning should begin. And what is going to be interesting to them? What is going to be compelling to them? You know, content should add value. It's not a sales pitch, generally. There might be some forms of content that are, but in general, if we're talking about blogs and content that you use, like you mentioned, video form, etc., it should add value and really provide guidance or, you know, inspiration and education to help prospective customers really navigate the landscape of your industry. And particularly if you have a services business, it's usually the case with services businesses that it's a bit more complicated. There's more complex concepts to explain to a prospective client, and they need, you know, a little bit more information and guidance to get them to a point where they're ready to even maybe book in a consult with you. So you have to really start by understanding your customers' pain points, challenges, emotions, and desires. And that research is the first research, and then you research the topic that you're actually going to talk about and really be able to bring your own unique spin to it. And what is your view on that, you know, that content? And of course, there is value for businesses from a search engine optimization, SEO perspective, to having content that's just sort of, you know, basic content that goes out and it talks to a topic, and maybe it is quite generic and it doesn't go that deep, and it just has a little snippet of, you know, 5 tips to this, 7 tips to that. That's great. There's nothing wrong with that content, and AI can play a role in that. But essentially, if you can have some really core pieces, you know, whether it's a white paper or an ebook or some really deep articles that really show your thought leadership and your unique spin and view on your industry, that's obviously going to be very compelling for prospective customers and more interesting than the stuff they're going to find online, which is repeat, repeat, repeat.
Definitely. So definitely there needs to be a lot of research that needs to be placed upon, and then the uniqueness of content plays an important role. Now, in this in competitive environment, when I was mentioning that there are a lot of content that are being produced, there is another challenge that the content writers are facing. That is the emergence of a lot of AI tools such as ChatGPT and many. So what do you think are the challenges that the content writers might have to face in future if they have to have a quality content to the AI tools?
Well, there's so much debate about this at the moment in the world, isn't there? And, you know, we're trying to determine where AI fits in society, really. And I think, you know, content writers themselves, they actually do need to make AI their friend. They need to find a way to integrate it into their business and to use it in a way that can help them shortcut or refine their own thinking or their own writing, I think. The fear, though, is that if you concept things with AI, then everyone ends up with the same content, because essentially, you know, AI is taking from what is already out there. So it's not unique. It's not new and fresh. You know, you can't really get AI to write a meaningful content about your upcoming event, because the event's in the future, it hasn't happened. So in order for it to do it, you have to feed the information into it. And then, of course, it can write something. So if you flip it around and write your draft and then have it tidied up by AI, then you're still inputting original thinking into it. And that's really the key. So, of course, there are implications for that which concern me as well. You know, we lose the art of copywriting, the beautiful art of copywriting. I mean, long gone, I think, unfortunately, are the days when, you know, we would have with just an amazing ad that was just a sentence or a word, and it was just brilliant the way that it was concepted. And we just don't see that very much anymore, which is a real shame. And I think, unfortunately, AI will be set to sort of destroy that for us. And I wish that wasn't the case. But look, I read something interesting the other day. You know, it said, use AI to discover what not to write about. And I thought that was a really great perspective. You know, I think it sums it up perfectly, because whatever AI is spitting back at you, it's essentially what's already on the internet. Or you can, of course, feed things into it, but it's still feeding from what's already in existence. And so, you know, we recommend using AI with caution to our clients or to business owners in general. I think at the stage of its evolution where we are currently, people think it's a really great tool. They're like, great, I can get my content for free. It's so easy. You know, I'm just going to talk to the robot and it'll tell me what to say. But the reality is that it's just like when you brief a human content writer. You know, the more time and effort you spend in refining the brief to them, the better the output's going to be that comes back to you. And I think, you know, that's exactly the same with AI. If you put in a quick brief and you haven't really thought it through, you'll get something back that's very superficial, and it really won't contain any deep thought leadership, because how can it? You haven't given it the points, or well-researched concepts, because it's not going to do that unless you ask it to and really think about what you want it to do. So if you put the time in, then, you know, you can certainly get something decent back from it, even in this early stage of its evolution. However, the cost to you of your time briefing it in the first place is really more than, if not the same as, engaging a human content writer in the first place. So I think for us, you know, content writers can use it as a tool. They can talk about AI-aided writing. And if that helps to reduce costs for businesses, and that's really what businesses are often looking for, then that can be a good thing for the future. But I hope that we can find a way to work with it as an industry so that people are not losing jobs because you know, and not losing those skills, like beautiful copywriting isn't suddenly lost to a robot, because I would hate to be in a world like that. So I think there's some upcoming challenges, but yeah, be nice to it, because in case, you know, just in case they end up taking over, be very nice to AI. Yeah. You never know. the danger is there.
We have to. That is the future, and that we have to, you know, we have to understand and we have to live with it. That's the fact.
It's not going anywhere, right? It's going to be here and it's going to evolve. And I am certain that in the future, it's going to be phenomenal in what it can do for all of us, for businesses, for our lives. But now, right now, it's just all a little bit, you know, not quite sure. And there's some hit and miss with what you can produce with it from a content perspective, for sure.
Okay, so in content, we also need to understand that our content should be informative and it should be engaging also.
Yeah.
So how does this engaging content can help in brand awareness?
Yeah. Well, it's actually kind of a scientific answer. And the answer is because it's findable. So if you've accurately married your target audience's needs, so, you know, we talked before about you need to understand what their pain points are, what are they searching for, what do they want to learn and find out about online. If you've accurately married those needs to the content topics you're writing, then your audience will find your content because they're searching for those topics. So your content will become really relevant as far as Google's concerned, and it will come up. So therefore your website will then become, you know, they will be on your website because they will click on your content and go to your website just simply because they're searching for that topic. And that's obviously what we want to achieve with content marketing or some parts of content marketing. So once they find that content, if your content is then also very engaging and speaks to the things that you know from your own research about your audience that they're looking to answer or understand, then that's actually critical to really increasing the time they spend on that page. Whether they dig further into your website, either by visiting linked pages from that article or via your main navigation, where they can find out about your products or services. So if we can speak to their needs, again, always all marketing, I would say, go back to the beginning. What does your target audience need? What are they looking for? You know, what are they trying to solve? What can you offer them that speaks to that and adds value? Go back to the basics, and then that will give you the answers you need as to what content to put out there. And once you put that content out there, it's automatically engaging for them because you've hit the right spot. Yeah, exactly.
Definitely. So while we write a content, like, you know, the content entire process is divided generally into two parts. The first is writing an engaging and informative content. The second part is marketing that content to the right audience at the right time. So what are the prominent content marketing techniques that you use in order to put that effort, that whatever effort that we have placed in that content, reaches to the right audience and hit the right course?
For us, it's definitely about forming a cohesive approach. So we build content plans aligned to the target keywords, i.e. what the audience is searching for, which we establish from the things we talked about, understanding that audience in the beginning. And then we align that also to overall creative themes or campaign themes that we're going to run throughout the year for our clients. So we build, for all of our clients, we build a marketing, like a really comprehensive marketing calendar for the year ahead. And that outlines our campaign themes, our campaign ideas, and the messaging for each of those themes. And then it breaks down further into what are the individual content pieces that are going to be published, say monthly or weekly, to support those umbrella themes of the overall marketing plan. So understand the target audience, their buying cycle, what they're researching at each stage, then research the corresponding keywords, then come up with compelling ideas so you can meet them where they are on their journey, and then marry that whole thing up to create a comprehensive calendar that incorporates that content plan as well as the other activities you're going to be doing to market your business. And we then also would always recommend distributing the content through different channels like social or email marketing, or perhaps even through an ad campaign. So if you're wanting to drive people to downloadable content like a white paper or other type of lead magnet or a quiz, you know, a quiz or something like that, something that's going to add that value and have that deep quality thinking, that's another way that you can distribute some of the types of content that you might create for your business as well. So it's really about bringing that all together into one plan. That's what's going to make it successful.
Definitely. And at the end, let's say we have generated a content, we have marketed into perfectly. Now, as a brand, they want to understand that what are the prominent KPIs that they can use to measure the effectiveness of all the effort that we have placed, whether it might be placing the content, marketing it into the right way. So what are the prominent KPIs that the brand should consider that, okay, this was a successful campaign just because the content was in a perfect way?
Yeah. So look, if content is effective, and when I'm saying content, I'm really thinking about blogs in general or kind of, you know, long form content, it should be achieving two things. One is more traffic to your website coming via that content, i.e. the content is the source, the landing page that people are coming to your website via. And two, a higher ranking in Google for the keywords that your content is targeting. So it's really that simple. So if it's not increasing traffic or ranking or both, then it's not really effective. Now, of course, these metrics can take time. So if you're relying solely on organic reach, it's going to take a while for rankings to be improved. Unless you happen to just hit on a really good one, and then that content is just the gift that keeps on giving. But, you know, generally it takes time, especially if you're in a really saturated competitive industry where everyone's talking about, you know, the same sorts of topics. And again, that comes back to, well, what makes yours more unique, so it's more interesting and higher quality. But if you're also aggressively distributing your content through those other channels, then that should really help things along. So if you're putting your blog article out in your email marketing to your list, then obviously if they're clicking on it and coming to your website, that's telling, you know, that that's increasing your traffic, but it's also telling Google that, oh, there's some people wanting to read this. This must be a good quality piece. So that can help with search engine optimization as well. And look, I mean, overall, the reason that we, you know, call our content product Never Ending Content is simply because fresh content, whether it's blogs or social or, you know, whatever it is almost always needed and will be forevermore with marketing how, you know, the way that it is now. So unless you've got a sort of massive library of content already and it's really hit the mark with search engines and it just, you know, you've got those gifts that keep on giving, contents that continuously attract, you know, new traffic to your site, and that's really the gold that we're all digging for, then you do need to continuously post content on your website, to your socials, through your email and so on, just to engage your audience. And especially if you want to attract lapsed customers back to your business, they don't want to hear the same, you know, article that you posted a year ago. They want to hear fresh stuff. And you need to also, of course, constantly evolve your own thought leadership and thinking, and then put those theories and concepts out into the world.
Definitely. And just one point I want to add into that, when we measure about the KPI, the one parameter that we also generally look upon is about the amount of comments that we are getting on the post. So let's say, you know, the point that we discussed, that our content should be engaging. So if we can add some questions out there, if we can ask the audience about their views, whether it might be on the social media post or anywhere, and if we are getting response, then that also shows a bit of effectiveness of our content, that, okay, the audience have read our content, they have formed a view, or they have got to know our view, and they want to share their views also. So that is also, you know, one of the things that we also look into, that gives a hint that, okay, our content it's being read by the audience, and then they are also sharing it there.
Yeah, look, oh, absolutely. Very good point. And I think, you know, looking at the social engagement side of things is obviously really critical as well for your social strategy, and that links into your content. So yeah, absolutely. If you can get content that online that's starting a discussion or a debate, or attracting, you know, ideally praise in terms of comments, then obviously that's going to be a really great indicator as well that you're getting that engagement and that brand awareness as well. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so you have given a lot of advice to our audience today. Any last piece of advice that you would like to give?
I think probably the last thing I'd say is, you know, we've talked mostly about content. It's a very important part of your marketing strategy. But overall, you know, businesses need to have a comprehensive marketing strategy that's, you know, outlines absolutely everything that they're going to be doing, all of their activities, not only content, but social, email, whether it's advertising, trade marketing. It depends on their business, of course, what's going to be included in that. But it's really important. And the research that I've conducted myself demonstrates that if they have a marketing strategy, that generally businesses are more confident about their marketing and they feel like it's easier. And when we get a system in place for our, when we get a system in place for our clients, when we first start working with them, they often come to us and they'll sort of say, well, we've got this over here and that over there, and there's all these things happening, but it doesn't really feel like it fits together. And, you know, one of the things I've outlined today is a strategy for fitting it all together, which is to have that marketing calendar and really planning those campaigns for the year and making sure everything ladders down. And I think that's one of the reasons why businesses don't feel like it fits together, is because they're doing sporadic things. And those activities in themselves might be right, but they're not fitting together. And often what we find is, you know, the SEO agency doesn't know the content agency exists, and the content, you know, writer doesn't know there's an ad specialist, and nobody knows that each other is alive in the world. And so they don't talk to each other because they didn't know they were there. And the lack of communication and collaboration really makes for much poorer results. So I think that's my final piece of advice, is cohesion is key. And you really need, you know, experts and professionals who can bring together that cohesion and build a proper strategy for you, and then really execute on that strategy, and have different specialists to do that in the different areas of your marketing.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. So with this, we have come to the end of today's episode. Thank you, Steve, for your time and sharing your valuable advice on how to write informative content, and also how to market it in the right way so that we can get the best ROI for our customers. Thank you so much for your time, Steve, and look forward to have you again on our show.
Thank you so much. You're welcome.